Welcome to a new design for living, a new design for work. Dr. Michelle, I'm so grateful to be here with you today. And this is a webinar series that's really all about looking in a deeper way at issues that we can't fully explore on a Sunday morning, Michelle, especially in light of coronavirus. And you know, do we come back to church, and do we come back to our workplaces? Do we go back to school in light of economic uncertainties in the world? So many people unemployed, or so many people in transition in their work life in midst of another presidential election year and everything that's going on with that. And in a time of racial unrest in our country, questions about race and equity and inclusivity. These are all very in-depth topics, and so we wanted to create a series where we can look more in-depth, utilizing wisdom from people in our congregation and beyond.
What I love about these webinars that we're going to do is they fall into the category for our community of relevant support. We really want to support people in their lives through all of the conditions that are going on in the world to feel more empowered, to understand choices that they might have, that they might want to make for themselves and for their loved ones, for their finances, for their work life, for their health and well-being. And so we are looking forward to bringing you some wonderful, wonderful topics and some wonderful guests and great conversation.
Yeah, so thank you for being with us today, and we're really grateful to be joined today by two incredible guests. Their names are Steve and Laura Drury. They're longtime Mile Highers. They're practitioners here with our church, and they own a company called Focus Directions, which is a coaching and consulting company for businesses, and I've always enjoyed my conversations with them, and they've got wisdom for us to tap into today on helping people who are in times of transition in work. And Steve and Laura, I know you know this, but the past 20 weeks, it's August 2020, and the past 20 weeks, over a million people in our country have filed for unemployment. The national unemployment rate right now is over 10%, and it's over 10% right here in Colorado. And we have people who are unemployed, who are laid off from work. We have a lot of people who've been working from home, and they've adjusted well. And then we have some people who are working from home, but maybe they're at a point of saying, I don't want to go back to work the way that it was before. And people at all sorts of different levels of transition. And I know your expertise is helping business owners, but also people who are looking for their true calling in their lives and how to make that happen. And so we're so grateful to have you with us today. And I'd just like to begin by asking you to share some words of wisdom with us for someone who's out of work and looking at creating or recreating a career for themselves.
Great. Well, it's such a pleasure to be here today. And one of the things that we've noticed, both for ourselves and in working with our clients, is that there's no easy answers right now. And in fact, no one has the answers. This is a unique time that no one's been in before. We can't say, oh, well, we did this before, and here's how it's going to turn out, or here's what we did last time, and here's what worked. And the thing that's so interesting about that is I think it calls us to a new kind of way to engage this time. And part of it is about looking inside and really seeing, what am I being called to do now? What's important for me now? What is my internal, that small voice inside saying to me? I'm really getting clearer on that. And that internal contemplation, actually bringing that out into the conversations that we're having, whether we're having one-on-one conversations or group conversations or family or friends, whatever the conversations are, to actually grow that internal reflection. And so we have this internal and external that we can use to create solutions going forward.
So as a starting point, it starts with our own spirituality is what I'm hearing. And, one of the things we know about spiritual living is when it comes to finding our passion and calling, it can't be based upon the conditions and the effects around us, right? It has to start with the cause within ourselves. And I always love that old Frederick Buechner, Christian writer who said, talked about finding your calling and saying it's that place where your deep gladness in life and the world's hunger meet. But it's so easy to have one of those things, but not both of those. But you know, even in this time of uncertainty, Steve, I don't know what you say to that. This idea of you know, people getting back in touch with their calling and what they really want to do, and then stepping into this place that's so that's filled with so many unknowns, like you say, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we do have a lot to say about that, because that really is a core. I'd like to share a quick story. Years ago, Laura was laid off, like a lot of people are maybe facing at this time. And so I'd like to share from my perspective what she did, because I think it's really helpful the way she did that. Well, she realized that she had to go through an identity shift. She was something, and then that no longer existed. So what did she do to cause that identity shift? And so it started with having compassion for herself and knowing that she didn't have to figure it out right now, because sometimes we rush to a solution that really isn't the right one, but it's the easiest or it's the quickest or the ones that most people told us to do. And so Laura really spent a lot of time reflecting on that during this time that she was laid off. And then she looked at what is it that I like to do? What are the things I really like to do? And so she did research into herself first. And then once she had done that, then she did research what exists out there. What are the careers, the jobs, the professions that actually would allow her to do that? And one of the things practical, I know we want this to be practical, there's a book called Do What You Are, and it's based on the Myers-Briggs type indicator. So a person can have the Myers-Briggs type indicator done and then dive into Do What You Are, and there's many, many great stories, and it tells how others in that personality type have found jobs, careers that work for them really well. So after Laura had done all that research, and then she did the job search. And the way to do that, as we all hear, but it was actually very well done, is she started connecting with her network and being very specific about what she wanted to be able to go into next. And then when she did that, it was interesting. One led to another, led to another, led to another. And even though Laura is naturally an introvert, doing the work required actually led her to her next perfect venture. And it was really cool to watch it. I knew it was uncomfortable for Laura, because this type of work is uncomfortable. But it actually led to something that was great and rewarding, because she did the research internal first and then did the external research.
Were you literally specific about the job you wanted or the kind of job, or were you more specific about the parameters that were surrounding the next job?
I think I was more specific about the quality. What was the experience going to be like? Right. But directed in the area that I wanted.
Sure. Yeah. Because I sense a lot of people right now have been displaced from long-standing careers, right, and paths, and may have to have a little bit more openness than they might have otherwise, and have to think outside their own boxes to get their next opportunity to come forth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that leads to the next piece around that. What Laura did was being open to ideas that you may have never considered.
Right.
You know, and that can be a challenge, because it's not comfortable, but that's where the cool stuff happens. That's where innovation happens, and innovation around who am I, innovation is around how do I express, and what's the next place I can play. And then the next piece to the question is to be active. Because if I'm not active, no one knows I'm looking. And so if I get active and connecting with people, which Laura did beautifully there, then people started wanting to connect with her and be included where she was. So being active actually could set you apart as a job seeker, as opposed to waiting for that to be invited. Invite yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd like to back up a bit, because this is so important what you're sharing. And for so many of us, when we lose our job, it becomes a question of dignity, because we've so associated, and we often live in a culture that says you are your job. And so when it is sometimes pulled out from under us, sometimes for all sorts of different reasons, it can cause us to question who we are. And so I love what you say about remembering who we are, and remembering that it's being who we are, not the conditions around us, that are going to define our future. That the right question may not be, I lost my job, what am I going to do?
Right.
But I've lost my job, who am I called to become? And I love that idea of self-investigation. I love that term that you just used about being innovative about mm-hmm. who we are yeah. and being active with that. And so I'd love to hear more, if you're willing to share, about how to be more innovative with who we are.
One of the ideas that has come so clearly through the groups of business leaders that we meet with is that the innovation that we need to address at this time is just unprecedented. And what's so great about it is that so many things have broken down or have been left because they're just no longer possible. You know, we're going to all sit at this conference room and have a meeting together. That has become no longer possible for so many businesses, right? And so because so many things have broken down, there's this huge opening for new ideas, new ways of doing things, new conversations. I can't tell you how many things business leaders have said, wow, I had no idea this was going to work or that was going to work. And there's just this huge open space to have conversations that really we maybe never even thought of before, or we were too scared to have. Mm-hmm. And now there's this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're talking about, what I hear you saying here is that not only are those who've lost their jobs and needing to shift having to really face those challenges and think outside the box. It sounds like the business leaders and executives that you are working with are also facing challenges in hiring and thinking of how to conduct their business outside the box. What kind of challenges are they expressing to you in that regard?
Well, one of our clients said it beautifully, so I'm going to play with his words a little bit there. So he said, you know, life is always like walking on a tightrope. We never know what's going to happen. The wind may come up a little bit. We may look down and get scared. Life's always like that. Running a business is always like that. And since the pandemic has influenced what we do, is now we have to run on that tightrope. We have to actually run it. Oh, by the way, there's no net. There used to be a net, and we used to walk. And so that's an example of how impactful some of these points that they're having to deal with are. I mean, it can be totally disruptive unless we come back to the things that we built our business around in the first place. And so that's a really important thing to do, is to look at our core values. So one of the things that business owners, leaders, and all of us are looking at is, how do we live our core values when we are afraid, when our check book is getting a little skinny? How do we live those core values? And then as a business owner, is how do we continue to build, maintain, and strengthen our culture? Mm-hmm. Because we believe that culture eats strategy for breakfast. I wish I'd made that up, but I didn't. Peter Drucker came out with that. But it's a powerful statement, isn't it? And so how do we, as business owners, leaders of organizations, actually build and develop and strengthen the culture so that we can perform at the level we want to, quality and performance and delivering great value for our clients.
So what I'm hearing there is, just like Laura and her story, and I want to hear what happens in that story, it's the same for a business or a company when their business is pulled out from under them and they don't know what's next. It's also remember who you are and what you're about.
Exactly.
And get active and staying active. That's such an important point too.
Yeah. So just to tie up the story, I got a great job, one that I worked in for many years and found very fulfilling. So it was a great ending to the story. Mm-hmm. And then further to your question about the businesses and what are they facing, you know, just like us as individuals, if we've lost our job, or even if there's significant change going on in our work life or our personal life too, businesses are facing the same thing. It's very much a survival thing, you know, on so many different levels. And how do we keep the business going? Yeah. You know, because lots and lots of businesses are facing this dynamic where a huge amount of revenue has suddenly disappeared. And, you know, whereas lots of times businesses go through ups and downs, there's usually not this sudden just evaporation of entire sections of their business. And so there is an incredible fears that come up and really agonizing over decisions that they need to make in order to keep the company going? You know, whether, you know, do we lay people off? Do we participate in some of these government loans? How do we really bring all this, all of this together? And what's amazing, what's come out of that is so much creativity. Like that opening I was talking about, you know, it's like, oh, wow, you know, we could actually take our equipment and just shift what we're doing and deliver something a little bit different. Or repackage how our services are to meet the needs that our clients are having now. Or we're going through a period of, just like you do when you go to look for a job and you don't know who am I now, is this period of quiet where you're discovering what that might be. So there's a lot that is going on, a lot.
This all seems really relevant to me because whether I'm in the market looking for a job or I'm a business owner who's looking for employees or looking to repivot, this is what you said. This is the culture we're in. And I think all parts of the culture when it comes to work need to recognize that the challenges that those who are looking for jobs are facing and the challenges that the companies are facing so that there can be better fits that happen as they come together. So thank you for that. That's a very wise assessment of what's going on for people. And I think it also helps business owners know they're not alone.
Yes.
A lot of business owners, I suspect, think they're out there and they're the only ones having these challenges. And what you just expressed, I think, would help people understand, know other businesses are going through maybe what they're going through.
Yeah, and that's why I think these conversations are so important, to be able to get with your peers and have those conversations, because sometimes we do feel like we're totally alone.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Well, and another or additional issue is how to lead remote teams or mixed teams. So if I've always brought them together for the all-team meeting on Monday morning at 7:30 for 45 minutes, wow. What if they are taking care of their kids or their dogs are barking? How do I do that? And how? And so it's caused a lot of our clients to really up their game as leaders, looking at new ways to engage people, looking at new ways to cause that culture, that full level of engagement. And so to your point, this also applies to the people who are on the team who aren't the formal leader. How do I show up? How do I make a higher level of value to the organization, because it's difficult for all of us? And then how do I play that game that I'm in, whatever my role is? So I think it actually applies to both.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And I wonder how you both would give advice for this question of fear, you know, that comes up, I think, both for companies and as individuals. I know in my own experience, when I start to get afraid, I can start to get dysfunctional. Yeah. You know, if I'm out of work, I can start to isolate and not share. As a business leader, I can start, you know, trying to fix things that don't be fixed or don't need to be fixed, or start extra controlling of certain employees. Right. You know, this fear word that comes up for us in uncertainty, part of it's natural, but part of what I'm hearing each of you say is there's functional tools that we can use and remember when we're faced with the unknown.
Yeah. The meetings that we have with our business owner groups and our business leader groups they're so critical. And as well, the one-on-one work that we do with them. And I think it is that reflecting back process that we hear, oh, other people are going through this too. Mm-hmm. Oh, other people have this question too. And I hadn't even voiced it yet, but it's in my heart, right? This, you know, ooh, I feel weird about making this decision, or I'm not sure if it's the right one. And so this sounding board where we can say, gosh, this is what's going on right now. And we can hear back from that sounding board, you know, people that we really trust, people that we're aligned with, you know, that we can hear that and hear the different opinions too, because sometimes we really need a different perspective. We're stuck in our own small thinking about there's only one way to go forward. And really there's more choices than that. And so opening that up a little bit helps with the fear. You know, it's like we don't feel alone and we feel like, oh, there's more choices. Or we might come away going, okay, I'm on the right track already. And so there's confidence that gets built from that.
Do you see a lot of your clients actually, you mentioned earlier, retooling or shifting, you know, just the different direction? Are a lot of them shifting directions and changing everything radically in order to conduct their business? Have you seen a lot of them doing that?
Well, I know Laura's got some stories. If you don't mind, I'll share one.
Yeah.
So one of the guys, we'll just call him Jack for now. So pre-pandemic, Jack was doing great. Everything was pretty easy, quite profitable business, actually an enviable position to be in. And then March, his business was closed, mandated closed, no income, like zero. So he went from everything's easy and this year is the best year ever to this month is the worst year we've ever even imagined. And so the temptation would be to run, to give up, to do all sorts of stuff. But so what happened, since this disruption was so dramatic, he used that as an opportunity to reflect on everything. So in working with him, I asked many, many questions. Many of them were things that he had not had to answer ever before. It would have been nice, but he just didn't have to, so he didn't answer. But these are questions that caused him to be more deliberate and more conscious about his decision. How does he want to show up as a dad? How does he want to show up as a husband? And then really where it went to from a business point of view was, what are the systems and the processes we can work on now that we have downtime that we never needed to work on or didn't have the time, we thought. Now we have the time and we know we need to work on them. And so he really took a deep dive into all that as we were asking these questions. And it came back to what really matters. What really matters to you, Jack? And so in that investment, he did make some shifts. And they weren't dramatic, like I'm quitting this business or I'm just going to close the doors. He actually adjusted his operations, and now they're back open and they're ramping back up. And everything that he did, the team building events, which he did remotely, the processes and systems, everything has helped him take off. And now that his business is now open again, they're seeing 70 to 75% of the revenues. They've hired maybe four new people on their team that they didn't even have roles for before. And so it's really been a great thing. And none of that would have happened. He wouldn't have made any of those improvements had he not been forced to by this disruption. So I think the mindset of that, and then the questions we asked him, because no one in his family would have been in a place to ask those questions because they were feeling the pain and the fear and the unknown as well. So I think, Laura, you've had a couple of clients too that...
Yeah, one of the themes that just occurs to me, you know, don't do this alone. You know, I mean, it's like, it's so important. You know, I mean, I have a coach, I have a group I meet with, and Steve as well. And it's just, you know, you want to make sure that you're getting the support you need. Right. One of the other clients we had, we worked with him for many months, and he was had a leadership position at a company, and really happy and going along. And then the pandemic happened, and his job didn't change, actually. So he was sort of set, except that this whole experience caused him to really start questioning. And he'd had some, every once in a while, a little idea that he had in the back of his mind would come up, and he would share it. But it wasn't so demanding that he wanted to pay attention to it. So he just sort of let that go. And I said, you know, I'd always ask, you know, do you want to talk more about that? What does it look like? Well, no, I don't want to talk about that right now. So we continued to work on his leadership skills and things. And with the pandemic, that came up so strong, this new idea, where he wanted to go and how he wanted to impact the world around him became so much more important in that same, what Steve was saying about what's important to me. And so over the last 3 months, he's decided with his family to move and to buy his own business. So compared to Steve's story, with relative, you know, changes, yes, but within the realm of existing business and team and whatnot, this person is making dramatic changes. So, you know, I think it depends on where we're at and what is calling us, like we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
That reminds me of what Viktor Frankl would refer to, you know, when you're challenged to not be able to change a condition, mm-hmm. you know, you're now called to change yourself. And for so many of us right now, it's, you know, do I want to make conscious, courageous choices for myself and my business, or do I want to leave things to chance? And what happens, and to deal with it with there, from there. And I know that there can be some wisdom in both those positions, but I'm hearing strongly, and what both of you are sharing is to take the time to reflect and say, you know, what are the questions of my spirit really being asked for here in my life, and how can I apply them in spite of the conditions that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beautiful.
So just, you know, one thing to remember for someone who's in a place of stress or uncertainty when it comes to their own individual employment or with their business.
You know, one of the things that one of our clients said in one of our meetings with a bunch of other business leaders, and I thought it was so important to hear, is stop waiting. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for things to get back to normal or waiting for something different to happen. This is kind of where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. So it's that level of acceptance is what I heard it as. It's like, oh, it was just so great to hear somebody say that to me. It's like, oh, I get it. At a deeper level, to stop waiting and act from here, where we are and in the conditions we're in, and bring myself to it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, recognize this thing called coronavirus is happening, but don't cede to it, right? Don't surrender to it.
Right.
Stay active and don't let it, you know, make you stop. I love that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How about you, Steve?
Well, and that's the don't panic and don't go it alone. Mm-hmm. I think I could sort of put an accent mark on this, exclamation mark. One of our clients recently, they're in another business that was shut down. They own two nice restaurants. But they were shut down, and now they're really questioning whether or not they can even stay in business, and which would impact all their customers and all their employees and the owners. And so what she said to me, and I'm going to read this, she says, "We don't know if we can stay in business or not, but we're going to give it our all, and regardless of how it turns out, we know we've done our very best. We're acting now on our vision and not falling into the chasm of waiting things to return to normal." Mm-hmm. And so to Laura's point, don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. And is true to herself, this owner, true to herself, which is, if I give up now, that'll be with me forever. If I keep going as best I can, giving it everything I've got, that will be with me forever. Mm-hmm. So what is the legacy I'm leaving internally, and what is the legacy I'm leaving externally?
Beautiful. Your stories are so powerful. You clearly work with some amazing people, and you provide so much for them. And I know it's because of your expertise and your knowledge, but I also know that it's because of who you are and your spiritual core. So it'd be lovely to hear, how do you two bring spirituality into your work life so that our listeners could do the same for themselves?
Okay, so this is a great question. And the real answer is, it's never been separate.
Yeah, sure.
Right? It really hasn't. So we incorporate cause and effect and law of abundance and all the wonderful principles that we teach here. But how we do that and making it practical so that it's not esoteric, it's not theoretical, it's actually real. And so the way we do that is we ask deep and intimate questions. Questions that no one in their family or their employment or their work team may ask them. And by doing that, that allows them to get in touch with who they are. And so we call it getting in touch with their why, getting in touch with their why, and then building their business vision and their personal vision based on that. And then, and we do talk about cause and effect and those things. And so really using some of the language, we start doing that and helping people see that, I use the word hopeless. There's a lot of people that in these times are feeling hopeless, or there's not much hope. And so from a spiritual point of view, is there's always potential. And is the potential latent, or are we going to activate it? Is it latent potential, or are we going to activate it? And then what is your greatest calling? And the final point to that, from my point of view, is what is it I am here to do? So the first time I experimented with that during the pandemic, I felt uncomfortable. These are business owners who are tracking the metrics, tracking the profit and loss statements. They're very proud of all that. And then I said, what are you here on earth at this time to create? There was a deep sigh and maybe a swallow and a gulp. And then to start thinking about that and that spiritual question, and then to develop whatever it is we are to develop based on that answer. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways. Laura, what about for you?
I think one of the ways it comes out is really working from our intuition. Mm-hmm. I know Steve does that so excellently, and because I can hear him sometimes when he's working with a client, and it's like, oh my God, that's such a great question. And so both of us really activate that internal intuition and in asking the right questions for them at the right time and really honing in on the values. What is it that they value? And bringing that not only into their life, how do you live in congruence with those? Because, you know, sometimes we think about them in their head, but we don't always act from them. You know, and right now is such an excellent time to see what our values really are, because it's easy to live by your values when everything is going swimmingly, right? Not so easy when it's a crisis happening, right? And so really honing in on those, especially over the last few months, working with the leaders and their teams. What does that look like in the business? What does that look like in your role? How do those values really get lived out in the organization? And so that's some really exciting work, because it's creating that congruence from, you know, the spirituality that lives within us all the way out into what we're doing every day and how we're talking with other people.
I love that. And, you know, and it speaks to this idea that, you know, spirituality isn't just what you do when you go to church on Sunday. Oh, yeah. It's how you live your life. And it's the charge for each of us to say, I'm committed, or it's my duty to live a life that's satisfactory to my heart and my soul. And that's part of this working life. And, you know, spirituality is your values. And there's a minister in San Jose named David Bruner who gave some great advice that I took one time. He said that things can go wrong, but I can't go wrong. And it wasn't a statement of saying you have to be perfect. It was recognizing that things might fall apart around you, but our calling in living spiritual lives as business owners and in employment is to keep our composure. It's when I sacrifice doing my best, like you talked about. It's when I sacrifice my values and start practicing being who I'm not that I failed. You know, in that spiritual sense. And I love, Steve, what you shared too about from your client about doing their best, because we realize that, you know, success isn't something any of us can force to happen. It can only be the byproduct of doing our best, especially in challenging circumstances and conditions.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So just lastly, what kind of resources are available to individuals and business owners out there who find themselves in a time of transition right now?
Okay, so since you like the stories, I do have one.
I do love the stories.
This is a Steve story. So some of you know I was a practicing dentist for a long time, enjoyed it and loved dentistry, loved it. And then I discovered scuba diving, and I found that I love scuba diving. And so I did a two-year compressed timeline to become an instructor. So Professional Association of Dive Instructors, certified instructor. I got all the badges and loved it. And then I started working with business owners, especially dentists and physicians and then other business owners, and I loved it. And I thought, well, so that was a time like the pandemic for me. It wasn't this pandemic, but it was just like that for me, because I was going through this and it was too much that I liked is what it felt like. And they were so diverse. And so I came back to these questions that we're asking. Who am I? What am I here to do? And then all those things that I like doing, what do you love doing? And then what are the similarities? Because it's easy to see the differences. Scuba's in the water and it's nice and I get to go to the Bahamas, and dentistry, I'm in my office and I'm, but what are the similarities? And what I found out was that through those types of questions, I realized that I liked to serve and teach and activate the potential in others. So whether it be, was their dental health and activate something that would be more fulfilling for them to have, or break through some fears, scuba diving, or work with business owners. And so I invite everyone, when you start this process and you dive in and you ask yourself these questions, it's really deeper than the surface. What are the true commonalities? And then start designing and researching, where will I go next? In my current role, what more can I be? If I change, how would I change? What would I want to be in that role? So you'll hear Laura and me talk a lot about the being word. We have to do a lot too, but it's really, who am I being? And then what do I do to that? So Laura, what about?
So I think the thread that runs through it for me is taking those steps, the first being you know, doing that internal reflection and really discovering what's on my heart and where I'm being called to next. Where do I want to give my gifts? What is, you know, some of those ideas, just getting really soaking in that. Then working probably one-on-one with someone, whether it's a practitioner or a business coach or a career coach, somebody like that. And then working in a group. Whether it's a group of friends or a mastermind group, but somebody who can reflect back to you to give you some ideas and say, wow, here's what I hear you saying, those kinds of things, that sounding board experience. And then it's a matter of, I think, really iterating through that, repeating it over and over again, because out of that becomes this clarity and a plan and, okay, a lot of things to probably go do. But that repeating it over and over helps us really get a clear vision.
What I'm really hearing a lot today from both of you is how important it is to realize that you're not alone, that people who are experiencing these challenges, business owners and those looking for a job, we're not alone. There's lots of resources that are available to us. Yeah. And so thank you so much. I thought for a minute, though, in that story before, you were going to say you were going to become a dentist to whales or something
right.
like that.
That would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been a nice combination of the two, right?
Right. Smile.
Smile.
Yeah. Well, you know that. I do want to mention that book again. I don't yes. get royalties for that book, but I wish I did, because I really like things like that. It's very practical, and that's Do What You Are. So who am I? What am I? And then do that. Mm-hmm. So there's some great books out there, as Laura said, these other very practical right here in Denver approaches that will help as well.
Beautiful.
Well, Steve and Laura, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to be with you. We will return to you shortly, but at this point, we're going to share a discussion that I had recently with Elzia Sekou. He's a beloved longtime Mile Higher, currently serving as the senior minister of the Denver Center for Spiritual Living, and I got to speak to him recently, and here it is. I'm so grateful to have with me today Elzia Sekou. He is currently the senior minister at the Denver CSL, and currently he's serving as a lead application engineer for LLC Partners, a health insurance company, a subsidiary of NFP. And before that, he was an independent consultant, I know, for many years. And just so thank you for your time, Elzia. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you today is, one, I've seen, you know, not only your brilliance in business, but I've seen what a hard worker you are. And I know that you're someone who recently went through a lot of transitions in work. And as we're reaching out to people today who find themselves either unhappy in their work situation or laid off and unemployed or wanting to recreate how they're working, I just thought you'd be a great source to give some advice for folks who are in that in-between time on how to stay active, how to upkeep our self-esteem, and how to get the job we want.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and thank you for having me. You know, it's the feel of job market was getting interesting before all of the pandemic, and with the pandemic, it's even more interesting in terms of how one navigates wherever they find themselves on the spectrum of experience or age, if you will. And so it takes a real concerted effort to be, as you said, to have a good self-esteem in the process, whether you're employed or unemployed, and how do you navigate the waters? Because as we've seen in the pandemic, people that were 8 months ago secure in their job may have lost their job, or now may not be as secure in their job and trying to figure out what their next move is.
Yeah, and it's hard because we always want to create what's next for us from a place of confidence and creativity, but it's hard when we're in a place of fear or uncertainty to do that.
Yes, and the interesting part about that, you know, not only is it just fear of not having a job, it could be fear of losing your life, which makes it even more intense in terms of how you approach the job that you currently are working, or if you're doing a job search, or if you're trying to switch jobs, that, you know, it creates a whole dynamic of how you go about staying at work, finding work, and maintaining work through this time and you know, and once we get on the other side of this as well.
Yeah, and you know, in both from your experience working with people and in your own experience, what are some ways to stay active in the in-between time?
Well, you know, in October of 2018, I was running my own independent consulting business, and my contract ended after being with a company in Texas where I traveled pretty much every week after 10 years or so. And I find myself, or I found myself rather, in this position okay, I'm a skilled guy. I've been doing IT for a very long time in education, in government, in finance, in energy. I should not have a problem finding a job. Well, that wasn't quite the case because, along with myself and a lot of other seasoned IT professionals, there were also, of course, the younger generation coming up with, you know, newer techniques, newer skills. And so there begins to be this trade-off between experience of getting the job done and someone who you can mold into a partnership with your company, if you will. And so I found it very difficult finding a job. That was one of the reasons. The other one is age. And so I was out of work for about almost a year. And during that time, to keep my self-esteem and not really get down on myself, I guess the first and foremost was faith. I had to have faith and knew that I had great experience, I had great relationships, and I knew how to work with clients. So I knew in the end that would come through. But in the meantime, it was still pretty rough. And so I think the first thing I did to weather that storm was to take care of myself physically. Start doing better exercises, start eating and cooking better, start finding more ways to laugh and not think about the situation that looked dire. Because if I went to an interview and I was concentrating on those things and my energy was low and my mindset was off, a good interviewer will pick that up in the interview. They can sense your energy, your body language, your tone of voice, your intonations, and they will begin to figure that out, that although this person may have the skills that we need, I'm not sure if they're confident enough. I'm not sure if they, you know, they'll be able to be forceful enough, if you will, when they needed to make a point, or be able to lay back if they didn't. And so that was the first thing, was to make sure that my person was in good stead. And then immediately after that was I picked up the phone and I started calling contacts, my personal contacts, who I knew would have my best interest at heart and understood what my work ethic was and my skill set, and then be able to say, let me reach out, or did you try this, or let me try these guys. So that was the starting point of the self-esteem piece, because it helped me do my own thing and my personal self-esteem, but then talk to people who also knew my worth, and that would boost me up as well.
I love that because I think you have to stay humble, but you also can't slip into losing any sort of dignity. And I think a lot of people, you know, when you're interviewing a lot, it's hard not to feel like they're the source of your acceptance and your well-being. And so, you know, we've got to be willing to put ourselves out there and realize that rejection isn't about us. And you mentioned ageism. I work with so many different people, you know, and sometimes they're going in for an interview and they're more qualified than the person that's interviewing them. And it's not the easiest position to feel that you're in a place of being judged by some of these folks.
Yes, and you know, the industry, and especially in the IT, but just in general, things are transforming so fast and moving so headlong into technology skills that I know a lot of the senior employees are not as comfortable, or may not be as comfortable with some of the technology. So they go in with a little bit of intrepidation about, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this, or whatever mindset they may take in that around you know, technology. But you know, there's the old saying, I like it sometimes, that says you got to fake it till you make it. And so, you know, even if you can always say, I if you know a little bit and you don't incriminate yourself too bad, you can say, yes, I'm able to do that. Don't oversell. But then go to the library, grab two, three books, go to work, put the homework in, so that if that comes about, you can put up a good performance and prove as you go. And so that's always key.
I like that. And I always had a mentor of me who told me a story about his father that whenever he would apply for a job, he'd say, "You should hire me because I've made more mistakes than anyone else who's applied for this position." And that was because of his experience. And he was trying to say, "I've learned from those mistakes." And, you know, something you said too that I love, Elzia, is that you reached out to your contacts, to the people that you know. And I think too often, sometimes we can build some sort of shame, you know, around not working. And it's important to keep reaching out because you never know what might come about from a connection.
Right. And that's like your family. I mean, that's the extended family for sure. And all family members, whether internal or external, if you will, want to see you do your best or want you to be fully engaged in life, especially if they know what you have to offer. And so, you know, in my case, when I found my current job, I spoke with a very good friend of mine. She's more like a sister from another mother than a friend. And her son and my son have been best friends since first grade. And she knew I was in the IT business, but we never really talked about any details. And so when she asked me, she said, "Well, I know, you know, what are you looking for? What do you do?" And so I told her, and she just immediately said, "Oh, I'm working with a company and they need someone with exactly your skills. They don't need anyone young, because they have a lot of energy and stuff, but they don't have the integration and the relationship building skills that you would have." And she took my resume, and, you know, I had one of those traditional long 4-page resumes, and I said, "I can't give you this." She said, "Yes, you can. Give it to me." She had more confidence in that than I did at that point. And, you know, God willing, it all worked out. But it was that relationship over the years and trust that helped me get this job now, and I'm loving it. Working remotely, the job was designed to work remotely before the COVID made people work remote. So that part was great, and now I'm just leaning into it and growing and providing a good service.
Yeah, so I'm hearing you say faith, take care of yourself, stay active, utilize your resources.
Yes.
The people that you know, and you'll be confident in what you have to offer, you know, even if it's being creative or knowing what you can learn when you're going in for those interviews.
I had one of my mentors who later hired me as a assistant professor and was my major professor when I was in school. He would always tell me when I went for a job interview, says, "When you walk into that interview, you walk in there looking, feeling, and talking as if the job is already yours, because that will come through. The confidence and the articulation of whatever it is they're asking and your ability to be honest in that moment will shine through, because you are presenting yourself as the job is already mine. I'm already here to do the work, and this is just a formality to get it done."
I love that. And, you know, you talk about things to do. You know, any advice on what not to do?
Ooh, don't be too fearful. I mean, it will be a fearful point. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, when I finished my independent consulting business, I had two kids in college, trying to get through that whole thing, trying to see my way through it. And most definitely it was fearful, but I had to find a way to move through it. And so the first thing to do when you find that happening, call somebody, pray, meditate, get a good book, find a funny movie, anything to move you out of that fear space. And then the other thing not to do is get too narrow in what you're willing to do. I was willing to do anything. And as a result, for about 5 months, I drove Lyft. And I drove Lyft like it was a real job. I got up early in the morning at 5 o'clock, and I was on the road at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I drove Lyft from 5 to 9:30. I took that afternoon off, and I went and looked for jobs and did applications and did that. 3:30, 4 o'clock, I was back on the road. So I took it. It wasn't a casual thing. It was a job.
Mm-hmm.
which uplifted me. And I got a lot of opportunities, at least to interview or opportunities about job, just by driving Lyft. Talking with the customer, and they say, "Oh, what do you do?" And I say, "I do this." "Oh, here's my card. Send me a resume. Here's my friend's card. She's a recruiter. Give them a call."
Yeah, so I'm hearing it's so important to stay in the world, stay in the game, and don't be on the outside looking in. And I'll always remember Alzia working with a congregant back in 2010 during the Great Recession, and he was a very skilled employee. He'd been laid off from his job. He'd gone to all these interviews and was hearing no, no, no. And I remember he was telling me, "I've got this interview coming up, Josh, for this job that's right up my alley. I think it could work out." And he called me that morning from bed. He couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't go to the interview. His dignity for himself was so destroyed that even though this was probably a good opportunity, he couldn't risk himself one more time to feel rejected, and it so hurt my heart. And we just made the commitment to talk every day. I knew he was suicidal, you know, and we would touch base, pray, check in, and now, it's God find me the perfect job for my life, but sometimes it's God find me the perfect job for right now. And sometimes we have to find those steps. So I think he's still doing some of what he loved to do, but it's so important to recognize, you know, we say it in spirituality, God is my source, but this idea that whatever the job is, no single job is our source, and we want to keep creative of what we're doing. And you never know what's going to demonstrate when you're continuing to put yourself out there.
And that's very key, because one of the things I also did while I was in that in-between period, I volunteered my services to a nonprofit organization that could utilize my skills. So I knew this person who was the executive director of the program. They needed some help with their client management system and database design. So I volunteered my time. One, it gave me something to do and to keep my skills sharp, never knowing if there may or may not have been an opportunity for me to join that company after I was doing the volunteering. But then it also gave me something to talk to when I spoke with other potential employees about, well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm in between jobs, but I'm working with this nonprofit as their database specialist, and we're designing this, that, and the other. And they get a chance to see that, hey, this person, even though they're not gainfully employed, so to speak, they are still utilizing their skills and providing a service, which speaks volume.
Great point. You know, Eric Butterworth, that great spiritual teacher, he talks about staying in the giving flow, but we could call it staying in the working flow, whether you have to volunteer your time, staying within a schedule, you know, staying in that flow is something creative. So thank you for that.
And you know, you just made me think about one thing, and being in that flow is, I know a lot of people are now on LinkedIn for business connections and advice and things of sort. And they have this, you know, there's the basic membership and then there's the premium membership. And I wasn't going to get the premium membership, but my daughter told me, no, you need to get the premium membership because, you know, it offers a little bit more. And I said, well, what is the little bit more for this money I'm paying? And she said, well, the one thing is they have free online courses on almost anything. Outlook, Word, interviewing techniques. So by becoming that premier member, I had access to literally thousands of courses on different applications and job seeking techniques and skills that were very helpful, again, to help boost my confidence and to make me aware of different things that may have been non-existent when I was originally interviewing, but now I'm more aware of them, so I can attune myself to that.
Stay open at the top. Keep learning. I love it. Well, Alzia, thank you so much. This has been very enlightening for me, and I'm sure for our viewers, and so great to get to partner with you at something we're doing at Mile High today.
Perfect. Thank you. I as you said, Mile High is my spiritual home. That's where I started first at Religious Science, became a practitioner, minister there, served there, and so it will always, always, always be my home. And so I'm so grateful and thankful for this opportunity.
Right. We can't wait to see you, hear you, and give you an actual physical hug sometime soon. Thank you, Alzia.
Thank you. Have a great day. Peace and blessings.
Wow, it's so great to hear from Reverend Elzia again. Thank you, Josh, for that beautiful interview. And as we complete our time together, we just thought we would love to hear any closing remarks that you have for us around this topic. Anything you want to let us know that you'll be doing to support people? What would you like to tell us?
Well, that's the fun part, right? Yeah. The fun part is really getting in and doing the action. And so there's several things that we will be doing. In addition to the fact that Laura and I do this every day with clients, with private coaching and also mastermind with groups, we're very excited about what we're going to be offering here. And I don't know, Josh, if you'd like to speak to that a bit.
Yeah, we just want to create an experience for people to connect with one another and connect with the insight of Steve and Laura and perhaps some other people who can support as well in this time of transition. You don't have to go through this alone. And so please sign up for one of these groups to connect, to learn, to answer that question, who am I and how can I be it better? And the information is on your screen. I love it. Thank you both so much. Michelle, a lot of fun to do this with you. And for you who are watching us today, this is what we want you to remember. Remember that you are part of an infinite source. Remember that you were born, yes, to face challenges and yes, to struggle, but to not be defeated by them. That what you are connected with within you is so much larger, so much bigger than any condition or what anyone might say is the truth of who you are. Remember to continue to go deep. And when we bring that who we are into our lives, even in challenging times, there's nothing more creative. Sometimes in those bleak moments, we have to remember that what's missing isn't in the bank account. It isn't in our employment. It's that deeper part of ourselves that's being called to be practiced in our lives through virtue, with trust, with knowing who we came here to be. And what all of us here on the stage know for you today is that by being in alignment with that, you unleash a creativity in your life that will lead not only to greater employment, but improve relationships and improve sense of self-worth and a greater connection, remembering that you work for that spirit within you. Make it so, bring it to life. Your life is a work of art, and we're here to cheer you on along the way. Thank you for being with us today.